Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be talking about the historic prayer event called United in Prayer for Pensacola. What a wonderful, wonderful time where the churches in the city got together to cry out to the Lord for a third great awakening. We're going to be talking as well about President Obama's historic visit to the nation and the island of Cuba. First time in 88 years that the United States president has set foot in the nation of Cuba. All that and revival in Cuba and so much more happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground. And, you know, we're going to, based on, you know, and I pray it doesn't happen. That's my desire.
I saw in a dream young people, I would say teenagers, maybe 20-year-olds, and they were crying. God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
And the kids that have to go to war don't want to go. They're not ready. They're not ready mentally, physically, let alone spiritually. They were crying as draft was being reinstated, and it was a time of great confusion.
The next 8 years in America will be worse than the last 8 years.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America's going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? You're about to see all that again. As soon as that was said, that America's going to go back to the 1960s. And let me tell you something, the 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War, we had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America. And it's like, that's where, when that statement was made.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do. We just go, well, you're kind of a hothead. We'll kill you or ignore you. And then 1,000 years later, we say, man, Isaiah was a great guy.
He was
just wonderful.
This year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. As a matter of fact, a phrase will be repeated over and over on the lips of people of many nations. You will hear it said, I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time. You're going to see, as men speak of pockets of selective judgment, so likewise there is pockets of selective revival. And it will be known as the rural revival.
If my people who are called by my name will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he's never needed a majority. This is what I keep telling people. We don't have to get 51% of Americans doing this before God can move. He has always worked through the remnant.
You know, God is not a donkey and he's not an elephant. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
You're going to start seeing more miracles outside the church than you see inside the church.
Say today is a divine exchange and my people will no longer align themselves and agree with the enemy.
A portal for angelic visitation would come in that could not be stopped in this nation.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing alignment to occur. And I will be sending forth column after column after column until the enemy is pushed out of your sphere.
God said, I've released my spirit. And the Spirit is going to rush to you. As a matter of fact, he's rushing to you even now as you hear this.
Like, we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are we? Where are you connected at? Where are you related?
Think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
I would say to you, this is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Phase 2 of the Third Great Awakening has begun.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kalaszewski. Well, we're so excited about today's program, and we want to just celebrate with you for what just happened, you know, in the Gulf Coast. We had United in Prayer for Pensacola, a special gathering for Northwest Florida. And a special thanks to Pastor Ted Traylor of Olive Baptist Church and Pastor Joey Rogers from Pace Assembly Ministries as they co-hosted this event for us for our city. So encouraging to see so many of the church gathered. All the different churches in the area were coming together, and we were praying in unity, just like John 17, repenting, crying out to God. And that was just a wonderful, wonderful event. You're probably seeing some images now, but so many people were there, and it was a wonderful time for just the church to come together. It wasn't about preaching. It wasn't about a message, although it was, of course, biblically sound. But it was just a time to say, Lord, we need you in America. We need you in our city. We need you in our region. And it was so encouraging just to hear so many pastors and so many ministers in the church at large saying, God, we want a third great awakening. In fact, I want you to watch this.
We pray it tonight with this one hope and expectation that at some morning, some noon, some night, your people will hear the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We look for it, Jesus. We anticipate it. And with great glory, we look for your appearing. In Jesus' mighty name, let the church shout a great big hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amazing, awesome what you saw there were pastors at one point that were called up. All the pastors, they were called up and they all got on their face, but it was the entire church who was just there praying. And we've got great news, because this year, September 11th, it falls on a Sunday, and they made a special announcement that what happened there at Olive Baptist Church with the church at large, we want to do again at the Bay Center. So you are invited. We want you to go to our Facebook, vfntv.com, and we'll make sure our website, we'll make sure that we have everything linked for you there as well. But you can find out how you can participate, how your church can be involved. But this is time. This is so hopeful, because so many in the body of Christ are saying, listen, The answer to America is not in Washington, D.C. It's not an elected official, and it's certainly not in one person that we put in office. But the hope for America, the hope for our city, is for Jesus Christ to be Lord, for souls to be saved, for the kingdom of God to advance. We want the blessing of God in our city and our nations. Listen, it's the righteousness of God that exalts a nation. We must never forget that. We have so much more we're going to be talking about in this program, including President Obama's historic visit to the nation of Cuba. You don't want to miss it. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN-TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
My goodness. Wow. What an exciting, exciting time. We want to make sure that you go to VFNTV.com because we want to make sure we have all of the related information that we speak about today, but in particular about the United in Prayer event coming up in September.
Yes.
You don't want to miss it. You can just feel just the exciting presence of God, the solidarity of the church. It was beautiful. But we want to jump right into what is happening even right now with the President of the United States, Barack Obama, visiting Cuba for the very first time, his visit, but it's the first time a president has been to Cuba since, 88 years, almost nine decades. I believe the last president to visit Cuba was Calvin Coolidge, or at least was in his administration. And just a little information about Cuba. Cuba is located about 90 miles from the coast of Florida, so very, very close. Obviously, we've had some of our prisoners, terrorists at Guantanamo, and all that's happening, was surfacing, where it's probably going to go back, but we don't know. And there's a lot of history, a lot of things regarding Cuba that's going on for a long time. Political prisoners, you have Fidel Castro and the Communist Party who took over about 1965. It's been a closed nation. We've had no relationship. And here recently, during President Obama's administration, they've lifted those restrictions. They're opening dialogue. They've reset the embassy. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't known, Steve, whether the president would actually set foot in Cuba. Well, he did it. He's there. And it's a big, big push that's happening. In fact, Major League Baseball is involved. They're going to be playing baseball in Cuba and just a bunch of things. And right now, even more companies, United States companies, are trying to get a foothold in Cuba. To get an understanding, Steve, they have over 60,000 vintage cars from the 50s still in Cuba.
In operation.
Yeah, it's like a time warp. Yeah, it's like a time warp. 60,000 of these cars still there. The population, Cuba is one of the largest islands in the Caribbean. It has a population of 11 million. But President Obama touched down, I want to show you, 2097, touched down in Cuba, and kind of really, again, it's just the imagery is amazing because you're seeing some of the vintage cars right there on your screen while Air Force One, is flying over. And then you're seeing the first family step off the plane as they're being greeted and welcomed into the nation of Cuba. Many of the Cubans were excited. As you were watching some of the reports, many of the people were standing, in line waiting for the president to pass by, get a glimpse. You can imagine, many of them hear about the United States and have some information. But to have the president of the United States actually set foot in their nation, what does that mean? You got to understand that many people have not been able to travel back and forth from Cuba to the United States. Those who are trying to flee Cuba have done so in rafts and boats. Many of them have risked their lives. Some of them have died just to get the freedom, just to land in the United States, just to have the freedom that we enjoy. And just to see how in this period of time, things have come full circle to now we've actually had two presidential candidates, one who's no longer in the race, Marco Rubio, and now Ted Cruz, who's still running, Cuban descent. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely amazing what has transpired, what's going to be happening. And in this program, we're going to be talking about a prophecy that was shared by Rick Joyner. But I want you to see 2101. I want you to see the President Obama's him and First Lady Michelle Obama. They're attending a state dinner, and they were also greeted by the now President Raul Castro, who is the president of Fidel. Fidel has not passed away. From my understanding, he's still ill, very sick. But you got to understand what lies ahead for our two nations are pretty interesting. You know, there was, you know, the Bay of Pigs. You had all this Soviet involvement. You had all these things going on in the 60s. And to see it come full circle right now, my understanding, Steve, is that hotels are trying to get, you know, in Cuba right now. And there are certain ways that you still can travel to Cuba, but they're looking at loosing those restrictions so now anyone can travel there. And it's just amazing because under the Fidel Castro regime, this was not even a possibility. We had closed relationships with Cuba, and something interesting has been happening in the nation of Cuba. This nation right now, most people, the average Cuban lives on $20 a month, $20 a month. Food is rationed, and I believe they're allowed like certain amount of like 5 eggs per month, you know, per family. Certain amount of milk is rationed out to them, and many of the people are impoverished. But although they lack some of those resources, what we're finding out with a move of God that's happening there, that they're not lacking God. They're not thriving, lacking God. Things pretty awesome are happening. But I want you to watch, as CBN reports, a little bit about what is happening right now in Cuba with President Obama actually there on the ground. Watch this.
President Obama is the first U.S. president to visit Cuba since Calvin Coolidge in 1928. He's hoping the historic visit will jumpstart a new relationship between the United States and the communist nation.
It's a historic opportunity to forge new agreements and commercial deals, to build new ties between our two peoples. And for me to lay out my vision for a future that's brighter than our past.
But only hours before he arrived in Cuba and toured Old Havana with his family, police clashed with human rights protesters. At least 50 demonstrators were arrested. Mr. Obama plans to discuss human rights when he meets with President Raul Castro. Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz tweeted support for the Cuban people and criticized the visit, writing in Politico, quote, "Political prisoners languishing in dungeons across the island will hear this message. Nobody has your back. You're alone with your tormentors. The world has forgotten about you. There will be no mojitos at the U.S. Embassy for them." Raul Castro denies their very existence. And GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump says he supports a new relationship with Cuba, but suggests President Castro should have greeted the president when he arrived.
There was nobody there to greet him. Folks, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Now, here's how a thing like that is supposed to work. Number one, he has his people call up, say, who's going to be greeting the president? If they say nobody, you don't go until somebody's there because you don't want to look like a fool.
But not everyone is critical. American Alan Gross, released from a Cuban prison a year ago, told me the president's visit is a courageous move.
You sat in a prison cell for 5 years. Is it the right course?
Well, absolutely. If we had had diplomatic relations 55 years ago, 50 years ago, 45 years ago, 6 years ago, I might not have had to forfeit 5 years of my life. The whole idea of constructive engagement helps to avoid circumstances like this. And people who are critical of the process that we've recently gone through really need to take a look at that.
President Obama's visit will conclude Tuesday with a televised speech to the Cuban people, attendance at a baseball game, and a possible meeting with political dissidents. Gary Lane, CBN News.
There is a lot of history. There is a lot of history. There's a lot of history going on right now, and you pay very close attention because what's happening, I mean, It's never happened before in 88 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have political prisoners that are still in Cuba. Many people are divided. You have a huge Cuban population in Miami, but really, I mean, huge Americans all throughout the United States. When I was in New Jersey and in New York, plenty mm-hmm. of so many Cubans, and they have so many of their loved ones, family members that are still trapped in Cuba. It's a dictatorship, and this is the beginning, hopefully, of a freer Cuba. In fact, my understanding is that Google just made a deal to get Wi-Fi and infrastructure into the nation. So with information and access to it, things are going to, I believe, change rapidly. But I want to quickly take you to a connected dots moment where Greg and I were able to discuss about the prophecy regarding Cuba. But before we do, I want to go to break and talk to you about a special offer. Listen, we make these special offers available for you, our partners, at any amount for partnership. It's available to you today. Watch this.
I'm very excited about today's offer. It's offer 2003, speaking and believing yourself into your destiny.
We serve a God who calls things that are not as though they were. Then they become. He has created us, mankind, in his image and in his likeness. When God speaks over our lives, we can hold on to those words and speak them out, holding on knowing that they'll come to pass just as God said they would. It's easy to speak and agree with what we can see, but when it comes to what we can't see, that is where faith kicks in, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Though we're not perfect, God's word is perfect, and we can trust and have faith in his word no matter our struggles on the journey of life. We saw struggles that took place in Abraham's life, but it didn't change the fact that he is the father of faith. You'll be challenged as we remember God does miracles amongst us, not because we obey some law or are perfect, but because we believe his word. Today's offer is offer 2003, speaking and believing yourself into your destiny. That's offer 2003. For any gift whatsoever, just go to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now and follow the prompt. Or you can write to VFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or you can call 844-408-3688. That's offer 2003. That's offer 2003, speaking and believing yourself into your destiny.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What kind of guidelines must public school bus drivers take into consideration when using seasonal decorations? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
At our school bus meeting, we were informed that we were not allowed to put religious symbols on our bus, because we work for the school system. But we are allowed as school bus drivers to decorate our buses for the different holidays. What I wanted to know is, for the Easter holidays, does that mean I'm only able to put up the Easter bunny, but I'm not allowed to put up a cross?
It's one thing if they were to say, look, on the bus we want no material display. We want you to drive the bus. We don't want you to engage in other discussions. If they had a broad-based policy like that. But here what they've done is they've created a policy, and this is what's interesting legally, and we need to get you in touch with our legal office here at the American Center for Law and Justice. They've created a policy that allows for discussions. You can decorate for the holiday so long as your decorations don't reflect the meaning of the holiday.
Get involved. Find out how at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us. Mm-hmm. He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you, mm-hmm. but he's keeping them back. And then
You know, if that we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Steve, I'm reminded, the Bible says that many, many are the plans in a man's heart. But you know, it's God who has the final step always. And everything's Father-filtered. And although man may think that they have their own plan for doing things, God has an interesting way of making situations turn out for his will, for his desire, and for the things that God wants to accomplish, not only in your life, but in the earth today. And so when we're looking at Cuba, we're seeing our president visiting the nation and seeing, you know, what's going to happen as a result. But I want to quickly talk about and have this connected dots moment where Greg and I talked about a prophecy that was shared by Rick Joyner regarding a powerful revival that's coming to Cuba. Now, they're already in the midst of some outpouring already, but this is not what Rick Joyner prophesied. What's about to come is totally transformational. It's going to take Cuba, it's going to transform Cuba in such a way that it's not going to just have a spiritual impact, but it's going to affect the economy and all just, it's going to be modern. Mm-hmm. Cuba's going to be modern. It's going to be a massive, massive move, which is pretty amazing because some of the things that right now are happening in Cuba are not good. But when you start crying out to God, when people realize that, listen, I don't have things and stuff and material possessions and things are, you know, they are free from distractions and shiny objects, they have the chance to say, listen, I need to get right. I mean, this is not about this stuff. I need to find the Lord in all of this. And maybe that's an encouragement for you that maybe you think that it has been about things or stuff, or maybe you're in a situation today where you've lost some things and you're just like, where do I go from here? Listen, you're not lost. God's arm is not too short that he can't reach out to you, or his ear is not too dull that he can't hear you. God loves you. And he has a plan for your life, just like he has a plan for the Cubans in Cuba. I want you to watch as Greg and I talk about this prophecy and what God has in store for the nation of Cuba. Watch this.
I'm so excited about Cuba and what's being prophesied over Cuba, right?
Pretty amazing to think that this country who's had a dictator, Fidel Castro, for many, many
still
years.
Does.
I mean, over the 60s, right? His brother Raul has taken the leadership. And it's been a closed country to the West, to the United States. And yet to find out through this prophetic word they will be sharing with you by Rick Joyner, that revival is coming to Cuba.
And a lot of people might not know, too, that that you could not trade with Cuba. You couldn't go to Cuba until just a few hours ago.
Yeah.
You know, for 50 years, it was closed off. They're driving around in cars that are from the 50s.
From the 1950s. Buildings that have been constructed from back then. Very, very poor. And to know that people that were once held captive are not going to be set free, it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch and to see.
Well, it is. And I think about what I think about this particular church, that the church there in Cuba, we're talking about it as well, how they thrived during that time.
Yes.
Which is amazing. It's like
under oppression with less money.
Will it take a dictator for the church to thrive again? I don't know. But listen to this prophetic word now from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, about Cuba. Maybe that's why the Lord these sanctions have been lifted. This would be 862 about this prophetic word by Rick Joyner about what is taking place in prophetically in Cuba.
But I had a dream about Cuba in 2009. And there was a revival in Cuba. Now, in this dream, I was in this very ultra-modern grocery store. And if you've been to Cuba lately, I don't think there is anything ultra-modern down there. I mean, the cars are still from the 50s. It's like they were caught in a time warp. And but anyway, in this dream, I was in this super-modern grocery store, and everything there was so nice and so modern. But what captured my attention more than anything else is everybody there was talking about the Lord, and that's all anybody wanted to talk about. They were so touched and so infatuated with God. Now, this was a pure revival. It's like you felt the purity, and you felt this is, you know, revivals normally come with all kinds of people trying to come and use them, manipulate them. You've got, you know, there's people that are trying to use them to build their own ministry. All kinds of people flock to revivals, some of the best and some of the worst. You've got, you know, you just have that there. It's usually pretty messy. It wasn't this way in Cuba. It's like everything was so nice, but God was still the passion of their heart. And now, he showed me a lot of things about Cuba since then. Showed me that this revival, it would touch the whole nation, transform the whole nation. It would also ignite, I think, what is going to be the greatest revival of the church age, which is going to break out in Russia. And I was also shown that back in the 1970s, actually. I was first shown about the coming revival in Russia. It would be the biggest of all time. Now, Cuba's was pure, but it wasn't that big. But a few of the things the Lord has shown me since about Cuba is it is going to become some of the most valuable property in the world is going to be in Cuba. And it is also going to be some of the safest property in the world. It's going to become a very safe nation. And I believe when this revival comes down there, God is going to have in place a leadership with the wisdom and the discernment to keep out businesses that should not be allowed in. Just corrupt leaders, corrupt types of business, all kinds of things. God has a jealousy for the purity of the whole nation. And I think we're going to have in Cuba an example of what the Great Commission really looks like if you disciple a nation. That's the Great Commission, to disciple nations, not just individuals. But if you could just think about that for a minute, just think about, you know, all the years they've been under communism, and all of a sudden it's like a fresh, clean slate to start all over on. And think about all that we've learned in our republic, and given those lessons to them, along with the mistakes. Look, this is where we got off track. This is where we didn't do right with this. We, you know, I think our core constitution is the greatest instrument of government ever given on the earth, with the exception of what was given through Moses. And give it to a country where here are all the good things, here are the traps you don't want to fall into. This is how we fell in. Just think of how we could disciple a nation, both spiritually, of course, but how about economically? How about in government? And that's what I believe is called the whole message of this life. And but it's coming. Now, I'm saying this because when the Iron Curtain came down, the body of Christ wasn't very ready for it. And we mobilized and mobilized fast, and a lot of great things were done, a lot of great movements. People just went over there and did everything. But I think we could have done much better had we been prepared beforehand, had all the materials in the different languages, and had the teachers ready and the pastors. And now, there were a few that were, but not many. And the cults were better prepared than the church in many ways. And they took advantage of it. A lot of criminals, criminal elements, the opportunists. And I don't think the Lord wants that to happen. I know he doesn't want that to happen to Cuba. He wants to keep out the opportunist. But he wants people to go, he wants people to be prepared to help disciple a nation. There are multitudes that are going to come to the Lord. There, I think there's great economic potential in Cuba. There's all kinds of possibilities. It's a wonderful, beautiful place, absolutely phenomenal place. But he has a jealousy about it. The Lord is jealous for the purity of what happens in Cuba. And I'm just saying all that now because it looks like they're just slowly opening up a little bit. But I think there's going to be a point when things start to happen fast and we need to be prepared.
This is so exciting when you see what's taking place. I think about when the Iron Curtain came down in Russia, what happened? Business and opportunity, and sad to say, a lot of negative opportunity just rushed in. Now imagine revival being in Cuba, God moving in a powerful way, and godly, you know, businesses coming in, just thriving. It's so exciting what God can do. When we get back, we're going to talk about how the church has been thriving under this dictator in Cuba. Who would have ever thought? And it's so beautiful, you know, how God is preparing to bless Cuba. And I really believe, John, it's because the church has been, you know, going after God during this time of oppression. And for 50 years, you know, that the church has thrived under Fidel Castro and this dictator leadership. Isn't that amazing?
Really amazing. You know, it really encouraged me when he said that he was in a super modern grocery store, because it reminded me when I lived in New Jersey, my neighbor's wife is from Cuba. And when her mother came to visit the United States, the things that she was going to bring back to Cuba to show of her trip were the newspaper clippings, the coupons of all the wonderful foods that we have in America.
We are so blessed.
We're so blessed. And to know that complete transformation, even to the business sector, is going to, you know, happen in Cuba. It's very encouraging.
Take a look at this. This is the Cuban church thriving behind these sanctions that was going on under this oppression. And it looks like prophetically, according to what the Lord revealed to Rick Joyner, that they're going to have revival. God has heard their cry. Take a look.
As relations between the United States and Cuba begin to thaw, a surprising spiritual reality is emerging. The Cuban church is thriving. As Mark Martin tells us, several denominations are reporting amazing growth.
In the midst of an oppressive regime and incredible poverty, the church in Cuba is exploding. In the past 20 years, Baptist churches have grown from several hundred to more than 7,000. Assemblies of God churches once numbered less than 100, and now more than 10,000 are proclaiming the gospel.
The church not only survived, but in the midst of those pressures and difficulties, it grew. It grew solid.
At the core of Cuba's church growth, house churches across the island. That's because back in the 1990s, the Cuban government told churches they could not build any new buildings. The effect? Church growth became very, very easy as Christians simply began meeting in homes. CBN News producer and Latin American expert Stan Jeter recently visited Cuba on a missions trip and explains the phenomenon.
Since they didn't have to focus on building a church or having a property, they were free to just go ahead and evangelize and start meeting in someone else's home.
Believe it or not, many also believe that Cuba's poverty has fueled its church growth. With many Cubans existing on less than $30 a month, there's simply not the money to pursue entertainment, hobbies, or other pursuits that would pull them from the gospel.
One church leader told me that is one of the reasons that church members spend so much time in church activities. They can spend more time evangelizing their neighbors because they're not distracted by a lot of material goods.
Church leaders say one fruit of all this growth is an emerging missions movement in Cuba. Hundreds of believers are considering or planning to head overseas as missionaries. And given their single-minded focus and long-term experience with hardship, they may be uniquely qualified to travel to new lands to spread the gospel. Mark Martin, CBN News.
Think about it, man. From 100 churches to 10,000 churches under this oppression, making $30 a month average in income.
and noticed that they did it outside of buildings, just regular homes. They were meeting in homes.
Amazing. God was enough.
They went from 100 to 10,000.
Amazing.
Yeah. Under a dictator like Fidel Castro. Think wow. about that.
That's huge.
It's amazing when you're looking, you think, so there's nothing to worry about. It's just got to get rid of the distractions.
Yeah.
Maybe what's coming to America is the removal of all the distractions. I think about this. I think about, you know, in the business sector and working in business, you know, if you're working with in sales or that type of thing and you're trying to motivate a sales force, you find out that if they'll just get rid of the distractions, because they say they're busy,
yeah,
but the reality is they're busy watching TV, playing games, staring at the wall. I mean, they're not busy at all. I mean, how many people are riding their cars at a rapid, risking a ticket, you know, a huge ticket of speeding, only to go home and do nothing? And so when you're in sales, you actually have to convince people, if you'll just give up your distractions for about 3 years, you can be an independent, wealthy businessman. I mean, you have to convince them. Really, you do.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, if you're competing with entertainment, with people in the business sector, and it's like, you know, I want you to be successful. All you got to do is just shut off, you know, the entertainment aspect of that thing's going on. Stay informed, but just take that time and move that into productivity. Well, God did that with the church, it looks like. Well, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good. Because they didn't have those things in Cuba, and they grew. The church grew.
We have a chance. We have a moment. It's a window for the church to be mobilized into Cuba. Listen, right now, Google is making deals to get the internet in Cuba. You've got hotel companies that are redoing and reconstructing hotels. You've got airline companies that are negotiating airlines and travel. And it's time for the church to be prepared. Listen, maybe it's you. Maybe you feel you have a call to the mission field. Maybe you want to be part of historic church plant in the nation of Cuba. Listen, when the Iron Curtain came down, they said everyone went there first, including Playboy and all these other just horrible, evil things. And the church was taken by surprise. We don't have to be taken by surprise. We can be prepared now. So when we get the countdown, 3, 2, 1, we're ready to go. And do what Jesus told us to do, make disciples of nations. Can you imagine, Steve, discipling the nation of Cuba, not just spiritually, but in all seven mountains, education, family, government, media, arts and entertainment, and seeing that as a model city for what can happen in a country, a model nation, when they invite God, his presence, and his ways.
That's the very thing that Jesus called us to do. A lot of times we lose sight of the impact. We might be talking to one person, but we don't realize is that the gospel that Jesus gave us, he says that it's known by signs, wonders, and it's a demonstration of his power.
Yeah.
And it's just like, imagine to know the fact that the person you're talking to, you are going to impact a nation. And the thing about that, like, we can transform an entire culture. And I love that when you see this story, you realize the fact that the kingdom is not dependent upon your economy.
No.
Go and declare the truth and the love of Jesus Christ.
That's right, because God has his own economy. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about a prophetic word by, we're going to be talking about a prophetic word right now that was released by Hubie Sin. Hubie was the prophet who actually prophesied to Jonathan Kahn at an airport. Amazing story, Steve. He's sitting at the airport. He missed his flight. And as Hubie shares it, the Lord lays on his heart, I want you to talk to this man. And he's like, God, you know. And so it kept going, you know, the feeling and the impression. And finally, you know, they started changing it, you know, pleasantries, and it was time to board the plane. And God says, now. And he's just like, oh my goodness, you can't leave. And so he begins to share the prophetic word about the harbinger. And Jonathan Kahn's just like amazed because he's seeking God for an answer.
Right.
And the rest is history. The harbinger goes out.
That was a huge confirmation.
Yes. Well, God just gave him a prophetic word about famine to strike America. Could this be Revelation 6:8? I want you to watch this.
And how Joseph was forewarned of a famine that was coming. So I've kind of spent time on that because I believe that, You know, as the Smita has happened, as Jonathan has spoken about, which there was a market correction, and now the Super Smita, which we're in, that markets have kind of gone up and down. And I think it's kind of scary, for lack of a better word, that the markets have not kind of stabilized. They seem to be kind of going up and down, up and down. And as I was kind of reading through what Joseph happened, the Lord was kind of telling me that we need to prepare because there is something coming, a famine's coming. And I was kind of spending time about, you know, really analyzing the details of the story. And the Lord was kind of showing me that, you know, when the famine hit Egypt, before it hit Egypt, it hit other parts of the around it first. And when you look at kind of world events now, you can kind of see, like, in Japan, in China, in Switzerland, in Europe, all their markets are pretty unstable. And they've become so unstable that the central banks that kind of run these economies, they are almost out of any options of what they can do. And even their efforts to stimulate the economy, they haven't really worked. It's more like they're trying to think of some other kind of stimulus to trying to get the money flow keep going. So now it's caused a lot of people to go into debt, which is what spurs the economy. But now the debt levels are so high for all these countries, and now even for people. And now, you know, you're looking at the price of oil. So now the price of oil, they have been just releasing all of these. They haven't curbed output because they can't afford to. So we're even now in a place where Saudi Arabia is seeking billions of dollars of loans. And they were the main one that always were liquid. All they had to do was pump oil and collect the cash. Now they're looking for a $6 to $8 billion loan. It's kind of unheard of. Yeah. So you have all of these things around America, and we're in a global economy, that it only takes one little trigger for it to kind of trickle down, like when we had the Greek issue. Yeah. That didn't go away. All we did was refinance their future for like another 30 or 40 years. Yeah. So, and you remember all the rumblings that happened. Well, now you have, you know, you have Europe, you have China who devalued their currency 3 days in a row, yeah, which is unheard of. So you have all of these things that are out of our control, but they're affecting our markets. And I think that now, since we don't have any more cures left, that as it starts to trickle down, it's going to affect our economy in a very negative way.
So you think that there's a parallel. God started speaking to you as you read the story of Joseph, that there was the shaking kind of started in other places in the world, and then it came home, so to speak. And we're seeing that shaking in the financial markets. But you said in the story in Genesis that ultimately a famine came home. And you said that a famine is coming. Do you mean that there's a great shaking of the markets coming, or maybe even a literal famine?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I just know that something's going to happen. And, you know, I kind of tried to ask the Lord, what did he mean by famine? Was it financially? Was it, you know, the course of the food? Was it going to be some kind of weather related, something like that? And I haven't got a clear answer. But he specifically told me to go to that story, and then he kind of, I guess, revealed it to me as I was reading it, which has never really happened before.
Yeah, that was my next question. Do you usually get prophetic words about current events?
I usually don't. Most of mine has kind of been one-on-one, mm-hmm, that I'm just in a random place at a random time. And this is actually kind of the first time that the Lord has ever taken me somewhere, and he's been kind of, I guess, downloading something to me. Yeah. And it's kind of new territory for myself because I've, yeah, never done that. But I noticed as I was kind of reading it and kind of spending time with the Lord going through it, he kind of pointed out certain things, like it kind of like, it was in bold letters, the fact that it started outside of Egypt before it came. Yeah. Or, mm-hmm, Joseph was told before it happened to store up. So, you know, I'm kind of being more conservative with the way that I spend now.
Sure.
Just to make sure that I'm kind of prepared. Like, you know, I'm putting aside more food. I'm buying more food from Pastor Jim. And just to make sure that just in case something's coming, I don't know what it is, but I want to be as prepared as possible because we went through Hurricane Sandy. And when we went, yeah, through Hurricane Sandy, we saw firsthand what a catastrophe could do. Yeah. And it taught us a lot.
Yeah, and that was one thing I wanted to ask you, because I know that you had been through Hurricane Sandy. And really, I wanted to see how much did that impact you? Because now you are storing food. Now you are making sure that you have these necessities in your home. But really, can you explain like what that really did to your, how it opened your eyes to preparing?
Well, my outlook was always kind of the way it's been, is nothing could happen that quickly.
Right.
So I was kind of cynical. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? That could never happen to me. And then when it did, it kind of brought back memories of as a child when I went through, you know, the oil crisis back in the 70s, mm-hmm. and things like that. And it kind of showed me that, you know, we're not really in control.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't go to the bank because there was no ATMs that had electricity. So unless you had cash, you couldn't buy anything because all the stores were closed. You know, I remember going to the grocery store and there was nothing on the shelves and all you could buy was like nuts because that's all there was. Oh. And it was actually a pretty scary thing to think, I got to take care of my family. And even though I had cash, I couldn't spend it.
Yeah.
So I felt in a very vulnerable situation. And as a parent that has children, and even as a husband, I felt like I had totally messed up. Mm-hmm. And I'm not able to take care of my family. So, you know, I was praying to God to help me kind of through this. But it taught me a lot to say, you know what? I don't know what's around the corner. But if I saw that, anything could really happen at any time. And I need to at least have certain provisions prepared.
You know, these type of prophecies are really foreign to a lot of Christians today, because as soon as you start prophesying these type of things, you're instantly labeled a doom and gloom person.
Yes.
And if that's the case, then you've got to label Noah a doom and gloom person. The Lord told him to prepare. Mm-hmm. You've got to label Joseph, the whole story that God is speaking to you. And I respect Hubie Sin. His track record is so that the Lord speaks to him, he prophesies to him, and the things that he prophesies come to pass. And you'd have to call Joseph a doom and gloom pastor.
Wow, very interesting. I mean, we're hearing all of these convergence of prophetic words. And as we've been saying for some time, we really feel like what the Lord is saying is that we're entering some of the best of times and some of the worst of times. But you want to avoid tomorrow's regrets today, just like Hubie during, you know, the Sandy and Hurricane Sandy. I was there in New Jersey. We had a church. We were ministering and pastoring there and able to reach out to those who were affected, but he felt he wasn't prepared. You can prepare. Go to VFNTV.com. We have something for you so you can just get all the preparation, need food and preparation. We'll make it available and relate it for you in this link in a way how you can connect. But as we come to the end of this program, we just want to pray for you, and we encourage you to please pray for us. Dear God, we just thank you, Lord, every day for this opportunity to be with our audience. And dear God, we thank you for what you're doing on the Gulf Coast. We thank you for the prayer, a gathering that just took place for Northwest Florida. We thank you, Lord, for an open heaven over our city and over the region and over the glory zone, Lord. And we just say a third great awakening. Lord, we thank you for what's happening in Cuba. We thank you for this revival that's coming. And let it be many, many, many more, Lord, that it will spread all through the Caribbean and all across the nations of the earth. Dear God, help us, Lord, to be prepared for whatever lies in the future. We may not know what tomorrow holds, but as long as we know the one who holds tomorrow, we will be okay. Dear God, as we end every prayer, end abortion and send a third great awakening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, and thank you for joining us today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.